Love everyone. May I have your attention, please? Shabbat shalom, everyone. My name is Daya Shalema Zippor, may I have your attention, please? My name is Daya Shalema Zippor. What's it? And I want to serve you forever as a priest starting May 2. It's now time to start filing your seats for Sabbath services.
Shalom, everyone. My name is Daughter of Israel Abel, Pauline Hawkins, and I will be a priestess starting very soon. It's a pleasure and honor for to present to you the sons and daughters of Israel Abel now entering the sanctuary. It's a pleasure and honor to turn it over to the one of daughter of Israel Abel, Mariah Hawkins.
Shabbat shalom, everyone. My name is Daughter Rachel Abel Mariah Hawkins. Philippians 1:6. Being confident of this facing that he who has begun a righteous work in you, who will continue to be to perfection into the day of Yeshua Messiah. So rejoice in life and lift up Yah. And with that, let's head over to the first speaker, Abigail. Okay.
Shabbat shalom, everyone. You may be seated. May the peace of Yahweh be with each and every one of you. In Psalms 122, verse 1, it says, "We were glad when they said to us, 'Let us go into the house of Yahweh.'" I'm here today to tell you that I am still glad when they say, "Let us go to the house of Yahweh." This past Feast of Unleavened Bread, I was very thankful to learn more about what it means to serve others and to be like Yahshua. No other place in the world would teach us this great lesson. I know that what I learn in the house of Yahweh will bring me joy forever. When I was young, I used to think that serving others was just for older people, adults. But now I realize that you're never too young to serve. I am very thankful that I am being taught to care for the needs of others instead of the selfishness that Satan had. I will ascend above the heavens. I will raise my throne above the stars of Yahweh. That kind of attitude will get a person nowhere. Serving others takes effort, but it is very rewarding. One of the blessings I had this past feast was getting up around 5 o'clock in the morning to help get the items from the cafeteria to the concession stand. My first morning, I wondered if I would see any other people my age serving and doing the work of Yahweh that early in the morning. I did, in the cafeteria. While most children my age would still be in bed, not even thinking about getting up for several more hours, we were able to serve in the house of Yahweh. Please turn to 1 Timothy 4:12. 1 Timothy 4:12. It says, "Let no man despise your youth, but be an example to the believers in word, in conduct, in love, in spirit, in faith, and in purity." In conclusion, I would like to read a letter to Pastor Yishel Hawkins. "Shalom, great pastor. We would like to thank you for all the hard work and many long hours you have put into training us. We will not forget all of the lessons you have taught us in the great house of Yahweh. In Yahweh's kingdom, we will remember what it means to serve others and how much of an honor it is to do so. Thank you for believing in us young people and encouraging us to be the best we can be. We will not let you down, and as Yael says, we will prophesy. Oh, and one more thing, thank you for remembering our cookbook." And with this, I'd like to turn over to the next speaker.
Shabbat shalom, everyone. You may be seated. The title of my speech is, "When we serve others, we are lifting Yahweh up." When we serve others, we are lifting up Yahweh. Some synonyms for lift are glorify, encourage, and build up. In Yahweh's kingdom, serving others will never end. In the fifth book of Israel, chapter 25, verse 94, it reads, "I had the opportunity, I think, to see it in one time when Yahweh took me in a dream or a vision into Yahweh Shema. The light was so brilliant, and it was flashing like billions of light particles. The light was so brilliant, but it didn't hurt the eyes. Everything was so lit up, but I noticed in the dream or vision, whatever it was, that the light didn't hurt my eyes, although it was a brilliant light. I even asked, what are these light particles? These were beings serving us." We all should have joy in serving others, knowing that we're lifting Yahweh and His way up and not the gods. In the 10th book of Israel, part 2, it reads, chapter 17, verse 13, Remember what Yahweh says about my Sabbath rest that He has assigned me to bring. It's glorious. And we make it that way by serving others on the Sabbath day, and we make it that way by going about Yahweh's business on the Sabbath day. So let's all be like those beings that our great pastor and overseer Yishel Abel Hawkins saw in his dream. Let's be that brilliant light to others as we serve and lift up Yahweh. I would like to conclude my speech with the words of our great high priest in Matthew 5, verse 16. "Let your light shine before men so they may see your righteous works and glorify your Father who is in heaven." I hope that you all have a blessed Sabbath day, and now I would like to turn the services over to the next speaker.
Shalom, everyone. You may be seated. While our speakers are taking their positions, I'd like to show you some really exciting news. Guess who's tops on Google today? Here you go. Tops on Google. It says, "Israel Hawkins says missiles are not the answer and offers a solution." Our great overseer is doing a great work, is he not? Okay, so we had that article that he talked about last week where it says, "Israel Hawkins states the so-called New and Old Testaments are necessary with no contradictory verses in the book of Yahweh." Remember how he said that that was a really, really big showing for the first one? Guess what it's up to now? 560,410. That is very impressive. And then we've got a new one where it says, "Israel Hawkins says war, school shootings, disease, and unnatural disasters have same root cause in new publication." And the total headlines are 243,805. That is amazing. Now, our program today, our theme is to enter into life by choosing life and lifting up Yahweh. And you remember our overseer told us to lift up Yahweh in his sermon, remember? And we're going to learn a little bit about how we choose life by lifting up Yahweh. So are you ready for our first speaker? Great. If everyone would please stand, I'd like to welcome our first speaker.
Shabbat shalom, everyone. You may be seated. May the peace of Yah be with each and every one of you. Have you ever taken a moment to think about the things that Yahweh has done for us? It started in the very beginning, even before man was created. Before Yahweh created man, he got the earth ready. He knew that we would need water and food to live. He also provided us with other things, such as animals, birds, fish, some to eat, and others to help clean up the earth, and the firmament that governs the earth. Yahweh did all of this for us. Yahweh's plan was to benefit his creation. But it didn't just stop there. He knew that without instructions, mankind would go their own way. So he gave us his 613 laws. From the very beginning, mankind was given a choice. He told us in Deuteronomy chapter 30 that we can either choose righteousness, which would lead to life, or evil like the gods, which leads to death. He knew that we would need someone to teach and guide us, so he gave us a teacher who would teach us how to keep these laws. Children, young adults, he gave us kind, loving parents who love us, guide us, and protect us. Yahweh has done so many things for us, but do we ever think about what we can do for Yahweh? Last week in Pastor's sermon, he said, "I want us all to work on something, lifting Yahweh up." Now, one way we can lift Yahweh up is by being thankful. I know this is a subject that is covered a lot, but it's something that's very important. As we know, positive law number 19 says, "Be thankful to Yahweh in prayer, praise, and deed." And that's found in Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 10, if you could turn over there. Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 10. And it's found on page 154. It says, "When you have eaten and are satisfied, then you must bless Yahweh your Father for the rich land he has given you." Let's take one aspect from this to look at. Prayer. And this is something that we talked about in our morning class this morning. When we pray, we should always thank Yahweh for something. There are many things we have to be thankful for. We can thank him for being in his house, having clean food, thank him for our great teacher, Yisrael Hawkins. Thank him for the peaceful solution, which are his 613 laws that bring true peace. And thank him for having a place in the work. And in one of Pastor's sermons, he backed this point up. In the sixth book of Yisrael, chapter 35, verse 174, he says, "We need to be thankful and thank Yahweh every day, three times a day in our prayers, that he has allowed us to have even the smallest part of this work that he gave to Yisrael. It's that tremendous. Remember, the smallest part," Yahshua says, "is going to be greater than Solomon in all of his glory." Now, there's so much more to being thankful than just saying, "Thank you, Yahweh." We also show our thankfulness to him by our actions. Do we complain a lot about the things we don't have or the things we want? If we do, then we need to think about what we do have. Think about it this way. If we can't be thankful for the things we have now, then how will we ever be thankful when we are given everything we want in the kingdom? There are so many people who would love to have what we have here in Yahweh's house. And Yahweh tells us that if we're not thankful, our blessings will be taken away from us. A great example of this was Satan. Yahweh gave her everything and even shared his plan with her, but she wasn't satisfied. She wanted more. She wanted to be above Yahweh. Because of that, she lost her position. We do not want to follow this example. However, Pastor gives us the example that we should follow. In the fourth book of Yisrael, The Lying and Betrayal in the House of Yahweh, chapter 3, verse 33. It says, look at what he says here, and be thankful. Be thankful for being called into this body. He called you into this body. That's what he said here. Be thankful for it. That's what Yahweh has said. He said to teach this to your children day and night. Teach unity to your children day and night. When you rise up, when you lie down, and even when you sit down to eat, teach this to your children. So in closing, whenever we're feeling down, Let's take a minute to stop and think about all the many things that Yahweh has done for us. Let's count our blessings and lift Yahweh up by showing him we are truly thankful for all that he has done for us. For my last scripture, please turn over to Colossians. Colossians chapter 3 and verse 15, found on page 927. It says, "And let the peace of Yahweh rule in your hearts, to which you were also called in one body, and be thankful." May Yahweh bless your understanding, and if you all please stand, I'll turn it over to the next speaker.
Shalom, great saints of Yahweh, you may be seated. May the peace of Yahweh be with each and every one of you. The title of my speech today is "He is among us as one who serves." Consider this as part two of what manner of servant ought we to be. In Luke chapter 22, verse 27, found on page 809, it says, "For who is greater, he who sits at the table or he who serves? Is it not he who sits at the table? But I am among you as he who serves." And we can see here that Yeshua said he is among us, and we know that Yahweh is among us as one who serves. Also, pastor is among us as one who serves. We, the house of Yahweh, is in this earth among you as one who serves, shining the only light in this dark, sin-sick world. The attitude and spirit of servitude is what we must all acquire and develop. This spirit brings us into unity. This attitude of servitude builds our character of humility. And a true servant must be humble and teachable, but that's not all. Another characteristic necessary is to be flexible and adaptable. Remember, Yahweh's servants must learn to do many different tasks, to be multitaskers. Think about Satan. Her one and only purpose is to test and prove the saints of Yahweh. Now, when she's finished testing and proving, do you think Yahweh can use her for anything else? No, her purpose will be expired. What about us? We as servants need to become adaptable and flexible so Yahweh can use us over and over and again and again. And the thing is, Yahweh will never abuse us, but he will need hardworking servants to complete his plan. And we have two great examples who are indispensable to Yahweh. You have Israel Hawkins. He's the witness, the olive branch, the trumpeter, and Yeshua. He's the redeemer, the saver, the high priest, and the right hand of Yahweh. And they never have let Yahweh down. Even now, they are still continuing in this great work. What will we do? Will we get tired, become weary, snap under pressure, and leave? Or will we stand in our place as a donkey's coat and seed of Yisrael Hawkins and carry that load? This is a choice we must make every day. Ask yourself, why is service to others so important to understand? Keep in mind, the kingdom of Yahweh is set and governed by 613 perfect laws that bind and hold everything together. They are eternal. They will never change and they will never pass away. They are needed then, now, and forevermore. As a matter of fact, service to others is also eternal. The kingdom of Yahweh is built upon servants serving servants. We will be serving Yeshua, Yahweh, Yisrael Hawkins, each other, and Yahweh's whole creation forever. Today we must learn to love serving as flesh and blood beings, training here on earth. But in the near future, we will love serving as body and spirit beings, just like Yahweh and Yeshua. Serving others is an eternal position, and house of Yahweh, if it's not forever, we don't want it. Yes, let us take a closer look at the word spirits. Having this spirit, like Yahweh, we know comes from keeping his laws. Yochanan 6:63. It is the spirit that gives life. I encourage you to go home and read the 15th book of Yisrael, the last chapter. Pastor goes into great detail about the food of spirit holy. And in verse 29, he says, "And be renewed in the spirit." Notice, he's renewing us. He's rebuilding us. We're begotten with the spirit, and it's growing like a baby in its mother's womb. Renewed in the spirit. And this spirit that's fed with righteousness, or the laws of Yahweh, notice, of your mind. The spirit of your mind, because that's where it's working, and it comes from Yahweh. The spirit of your mind. We have to condition in our minds what serving means to us. What attitude will we display? And in Philippians 2:4, it tells us, "Let this mind be in you, which is also in the Messiah." Very recently in our cafeteria, there were signs put up of our work ethics and the attitude as a reminder. And it really stuck with me. I'm going to share a few with you today. It says, I will treat all of my duties as though Yahweh has assigned them to me himself. I will do my duties or any job I have been assigned to do to the best of my ability with a willing attitude. I will serve others as if I was serving Yahweh. And that's true. We are Yahweh to each other. In spirit, Yahweh is here among us, looking and hearing as we serve each other. Our attitude plays an important role in the service we provide. And in Matthew 24, verses 45 through 51, Yeshua gives us a parable of two servants. One wise and faithful servant who lovingly did his job and received his inheritance. And the other, the wicked servant, was slothful, he beat his fellow servants, and he instead was condemned to destruction. So keep this in mind. Turn over to Ephesians 4, verse 7. Ephesians 4, verse 7. It says, but to each one of us, blessings were given according to each of us. But to each one of us, blessings were given according to the measure of Messiah's gifts. And the gift is the Spirit of Yahweh, which allows us to continue in this work. In verse 13, until we all come to the same unity of the faith and of the same knowledge the Son of Yahweh has, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness, perfection of the Messiah. Sisters, we know we are in the until right now. All of you sitting here, those out in TV land, the remnant not yet here, we must develop the spirit and attitude of a true, faithful, obedient, loyal servant. Then we will become in the image and likeness that will reflect the honor and glory of this magnificent being, the greatest servant, Yahweh, our fathers. So I encourage you to continue to serve with all of your heart, soul, and might. And with this, I turn it over to the next speaker.
Shalom, you may be seated. One day, a donkey fell into a well. The scared donkey cried and cried for hours, and the farmer tried to figure out what to do with his animal. Finally, the farmer decided that the donkey was old, the well needed to be covered up anyway, it just wasn't worth it to retrieve the donkey. He invited all of his neighbors to come over and help him. They each grabbed a shovel and began to shovel dirt into the well. At first, the donkey realized what was occurring and cried horribly. Then, to everyone's amazement, he quieted down. The wise animal thought of a plan. As each shovelful of dirt hit his back, the donkey would shake it off and take a step up. The donkey did this repeatedly and never gave up. Each time a shovel of dirt was thrown on him, he would just shake it off and take a step up. Eventually, the mound grew so high enough for him to step out of the well, and he gladly trotted off. On our journey to the kingdom, Satan is going to beat us down. The secret to getting out of the well is to shake it off and take a step up. We can get out of the deepest well by not stopping and never giving up. Just shake it off and take a step up. The donkey was not only wise, but he was determined. We pray for wisdom and we pray for determination just as Nehemiah did. Nehemiah chapter 6, verse 9 on page 396. It's Nehemiah 6:9. Now, therefore, O Yahweh, strengthen my determination. So, what is determination? Determination is the act of making or arriving at a decision. Firmness of purpose, resolve, a fixed intention or resolution, a tendency to move in a fixed direction. Our goal is to become perfect like Yahweh is perfect. We show Yahweh our determination by not giving up. In Proverbs chapter 24, verse 16, page 512. Proverbs 24:16. For though a just man may fall seven times, he will stand up again, but the wicked fall only once into destruction. Yeshua also said we should forgive 70 times seven. Matthew chapter 18, verses 21 to 22, on page 746. It's Matthew 18:21 to 22. Then Kepha came to him and asked, Teacher, how often shall my brother sin against me, and I forgive him? For seven times? Yeshua said to him, I do not say to you for seven times, but for seven times 70. The closer we get to the kingdom, the harder the test will get, and the stronger we will become. I've heard the saying, if it doesn't kill you, it makes you stronger. Serving others is not always an easy thing to do. We have to come up with a plan to continue serving with a joyful attitude, even when test and trial comes our way. The test of serving others comes when we are tired or not feeling well. Just shake it off and take a step up. Exodus chapter 20, verse 20, page 61. Exodus 20, 20. Moshe said to the people, "Do not fear, for Yahweh has come to test and prove you. Yahweh has designed our experiences, especially and specifically for us individually. The things we endure are to help us become that perfect person Yahweh wants us to be. Remember, Pastor said to pray that Yahweh would make us into the people he wants us to be. Serving starts with our thoughts, and it has to come from our heart. When we serve others, either here on the Sabbath day or at home with our family members, we serve because we truly care about the other person. No matter what job we are given to do or who we are assigned to work with, we should always do our assignments as if we're doing it for Yahweh. Remember, Yahweh sees all things, and he knows the intentions of our heart." In Psalms chapter 29, verse 11, on page 444, Psalms 29:11, "Yahweh will give strength to his people, glory, honor, and strength to you. Yahweh will bless his people with peace." How does Yahweh give us strength? Yahweh gives us strength through rejoicing and through our positive attitudes. Our joy in Yahweh is our strength. 1 Corinthians 16, 13 to 14, page 899. 1 Corinthians 16, 13 to 14. "Watch, stand firm in the faith, be brave, be strong, let all that you do be done in love." Strength also comes from doing something repetitively. I remember the first time I tried to lift a 5-gallon bucket of water. It was so heavy, I could barely pick it up off the ground. The more I tried to lift it, the easier it became because my muscles became stronger. It's the same way with endurance through the test. The more opportunity we have to endure, the stronger we become. Through endurance, we have hope. As Romans 15:4 says on page 884, Romans 15:4, "For whatever things were written in former times were written for our learning, that we, through endurance and the comfort of the scriptures, might have hope." We need endurance just like the donkey to keep taking a step up. We need endurance so we may receive the promise. Psalms 37, verse 5, on page 448. Psalm 37, 5. "Commit your ways to Yahweh, trust in him, and he will act." Hebrews 10, 36, page 949. Hebrews 10, 36. "For you have need of endurance, so that after you have done the will of Yahweh, you may receive the promise." We all want to receive the promise. What is this promise that we all await? Matthew chapter 5, verse 3, page 730. Matthew 5:3. "Blessed are the poor in spirit, enduring hardship and being humble, for theirs is the kingdom of Yahweh." The only way to receive this promise is by joyfully and willingly serving others. The kingdom of Yahweh is our promise. Yahweh is known for keeping his promises. We will be serving one another throughout all eternity. Yahweh's kingdom is all about serving one another and showing them true care and concern. I encourage you to keep stepping up to the challenges that await you. Just shake it off and take a step up. I would like to thank the greatest teacher in the world, Kahan Yezra Abel Hawkins, for allowing me the opportunity to speak today. If you all please stand, I'd like to turn it over to the next speaker.
Shabbat shalom, everyone. You may be seated. So I woke up this morning thinking, will I control my life, or will I allow Satan to control my life? Will I lash out at the many helpers in the house of Yahweh that Yahweh has given to help me? Will I scold them for what they have done wrong? Or will I praise them for everything they do so well? I am made subject to vanity, so it's me that must make the decision to choose righteousness. I will make mistakes, but how I handle them is what I'm being judged on. You have to remember that. Romans chapter 8, verse 20, if you would turn there. Romans 8, verse 20 is on page 879, and it reads, "For the creation was made subject to emptiness, not willingly, but by the will of him who subjected it in hope." And remember in the beginning when Yahweh created all things, he created mankind perfectly. He allowed that carnal mind to be there for a reason.
but the creation was made subject to emptiness. That word emptiness, if you look it up, also the King James Version uses the word vanity. Subject to vanity, subject to sin. If you look at the side note, it says T. Side note T, Genesis 4, 7 through 15. Desiring to live according to man's laws and resisting Yahweh's laws is ever with us. Remember Genesis 4, verse 7. Yahweh said to Cain, "Why are you angry? Why are you downcast? If you choose righteousness, will you not be acceptable? Acceptable for my kingdom? And if you don't, you know, sin is crouching at your door because the desire to sin is in you, but you must what? What did he say? You must what? Overcome it." Right. The side note to emptiness is unsuccessful searching for joy and peace. And we can see that clearly in Cain, and also mankind for 6,000 years has been unable to find joy and peace because they've refused to follow Yahweh's laws. But this is also talked about in the Mark of Beasts a little bit, chapter, the first volume, and page 6. Yahweh did not have to allow man to rule over man. He didn't have to do that. You know how they chose a king and all this. You see the pattern throughout the history of mankind. But had Yahweh denied a man this choice of conducting his own affairs, or us having our own carnal mind, we could have always said, if only we had the opportunity, the chance, we could have lived on this earth in peace, you know, going our own way. Now that man has the opportunity to live without Yahweh's way, without his laws, without his house and his book of Yahweh taken away for 1,500 years, man is learning a vital lesson. Man is now striving to bring this peace to this earth without Yahweh, and we know it's impossible. That's why Yahweh established his house here in the last days. That word vanity, it's in the Greek, it means number 3153 from 3152, and it means moral depravity, vanity, emptiness, owing to sin. And we know owing to sin, we've all sinned. Romans 6:23 talks about how the wages of sin is death. But thank Yahweh for Yahshua and his plan to bring forth Yahshua who would die for our sins and teach us the way to go. Great swelling of words of false teachers. That's deception. You see that back in Genesis when it says that the earth was darkened. It was misery, death, sorrow, and deception. That Romans 8 verse 20, it says, "For creation was made subject to emptiness," or subject to vanity, vain. And we can see that back in Genesis. You know, Yahweh told Cain, "The desire to sin is with you." Yochanan 6:63 also says this in another way. It says, "It is a spirit that gives life. The flesh is useless. The laws that I speak to you, they are life everlasting." So you see that our fleshly bodies without Yahweh's laws, it's worthless. It would never bring peace. Jacob 2:20 also says this as well. It's on page 954, and it says, "But are you willing to know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead?" Verse 24. You see then that a man is also justified by works, by righteous works, and not by faith alone. Because remember, the faith is the whole plan of Yahweh's salvation. For just as the body is without spirit, without the spirit, without Yahweh's laws, it's dead, so faith without works is dead also. Now, our first thoughts that we have, even before we come to Yahweh's house, they're always vain. Even now, when a test comes up, our first thoughts are always vain. They're always against Yahweh. And we've got to overcome that. We want to be like Yahshua, who didn't have to have a second thought about choosing righteousness. He chose it immediately. Exodus 20:20, we are all being tested. And if you can turn there. In Exodus 20:20, you see Yahweh speaking to Moshe and to the children of Israel. He had already brought them out of the bondage of sin and gave them his laws, gave them a teacher. And Moshe said to the people, "Do not fear. Do not fear." Isn't that what Yahweh wrote in Isaiah 44, where it says, talking to the two witnesses, "Do not fear nor be afraid"? And we're part of that. "Do not fear, for Yahweh has come to test and prove you, to test and prove you before heaven and earth, so that the reverence of Yahweh will be with you, so that you do not commit sin." And reverence is, you see the side note, G9, whether you will obey Yahweh's laws as you promised or whether you will not. And we can see we have made that vow to stay in Yahweh's house. We've promised to keep Yahweh's laws and to uphold his laws and to become into that image and likeness of Yahweh. But in order to that, we have to be tested severely. When the test comes up, our first thing to do, our carnal mind wants to blame everyone else in the world and everyone else around us for what's occurring. Because the deception that's been placed in our minds from the world is that you're the greatest, you boast, you're proud. You can never do anything wrong. You can sin and surely you will never die, right? That's Satan's character that we need to get out of us. Yeshua said we need to humble ourselves as a little child. We were nothing before we came to Yahweh's house. We knew nothing, and we are striving to be part of the greatest family that Yahweh has in store for us. Like one of the newest songs says, we want to honor our calling. Because Yahweh has mercy on those he chooses to have mercy on. Look at the world. They're the ones that are suffering. We are given the blessings of Yahweh. We have hope through the prophecies that are written in the book of Yahweh and explained here in the house of Yahweh. And we don't want to be the fools. We want to believe in this work. Yahshua said, humble ourselves like a little child and start thinking. Use your mind a little bit. Go to your counselors. Don't go on your own way. Go to your counselors and see and ask, like his law says, how to solve this problem. Because what we want to do is learn how to solve our problems through Yahweh's laws. And that's what our counselors are there for. Then we can receive the promises. Remember in Genesis it says, if you will overcome. Revelation 21 verse 7 says, uses that same word. He who overcomes, or she who overcomes, will inherit all things, and I will be his father, and he will be my son. We can blame each other and choose to follow Satan's character and burn in hell. Or we can choose to lift up Yahweh in our character and choose to overcome our problems and choose to set our minds to always be righteous like our high priest Yahshua was and like our overseer Israel Hawkins is in these last days, not giving a second thought to God worship. We have to not just overcome the worldliness, but we also have to choose Yahweh in his way and turn and convert. Remember Acts 3:19. Yahshua said, do unto others as you'd want them to do unto you. Love others as you'd want them to love you. That's through Yahweh's laws. So we can be worthy of that promise in Genesis 1:26 of being able to have that authority. Now with this, if y'all please stand, I'm going to turn over to the next speaker.
Shabbat shalom. Y'all may be seated. May the peace of Yahweh be with each and every one of you. So on last Sabbath, Yeshua Hawkins said, I want you to get your mind off of yourself and work with me to lift Yahweh up. So when I left services, I was going about my day and, you know, going about my week, throughout the week, and I just kept thinking about that. Work with Yisrael Hawkins to lift Yahweh up. So one day I was at home, I was cleaning, and I had the House of Yahweh radio playing, and Pastor said, Yahweh is our head. Yahweh is the head over everything, everyone. Yahweh is our head. And in that same sermon, which was dated 10/18/1997, which was 21 years ago, he said, I want you to turn with me to Luke 21, chapter 21, verse 28. If we can all turn there. It's found on page 808. So I'm listening to the radio. He says, you know, grab your books of Yahweh, turn to this page. So I run, I grab my book of Yahweh, and it says, so when these things begin to come to pass, then look up and lift up your heads because your redemption draws near. Pastor also tells us all the time, when you're reading scriptures, make sure you are looking up every single word. So I said, okay, I don't think I've ever looked up the word lift. I know what it means, but I've never looked it up. So I looked up the word lift. And dictionary.com tells us that it means to raise, direct upward, you know, like when you're lifting your hands in prayer. To move or bring something upward from the ground to support to a higher position. And I said, that's very interesting because I had never looked that word up. So in the same sentence, lift up your heads. I said, okay, I'll look up the word heads. So I looked up heads in the Strong's and the Hebrew. It's number 2776. And the word head means mountain, a place. I was thinking to myself, I've heard that before.
I've heard that somewhere before, so I went to Isaiah 2. If you could all turn to Isaiah 2 with me, please. Isaiah 2, verse 3, it says, "And many people will go and say, 'Come and let us go up to the mountain of Yahweh.'" And if you look right there at side note C, it says, "Go up to where Yahweh is lifted up." Is Yahweh not lifted up here at the great house of Yahweh? Praise Yahweh. And Pastor just said, you know, help him, work with him to lift up Yahweh. And we all know how important the work is to our great overseer. So I said, oh, I'm making a connection here. So let me see what it means in Greek. So I looked up the same word number in Greek, 2776, and it means the head. Cornerstone, and it means authority as well. And we all learned about authorities in the elementary series of the Peaceful Solution Character Education Program. And it referenced Matithia 21:42. If you could all turn over to Matithia 21:42. It says, "Yeshua said to them, 'Have you never read in the scriptures, the stone which the builders rejected has become the headstone of the corner? This is Yahweh's doing. It is marvelous in our eyes.'" Now, the head and the cornerstone, that was Greek number 2776. And the side note W3, it says, "It's become the head of the corner or the chief cornerstone. He has become the foundation of the house of Yahweh on which the whole building rests." So that's us, the house of Yahweh. We rest on Yeshua Messiah, our great high priest. And when you look at the word heads and lift up, we're lifting up Yahweh when we lift up our authorities. And our authorities are the children, it's our parents or our teachers, your wives, it's your husbands, you know, in the workplace, it's your supervisors. And, you know, sometimes you get stressed out and, you know, with the daily grind and things like that. And it's really hard sometimes to lift up, you know, your supervisors, especially when they're dancing around telling you that they're going home to eat pizza and cheesy breadsticks that their sister made. You know, it's hard, but you have to do it. You can push through. You can do it. Because when you're lifting these people up, you are in turn lifting up Yahweh. Praise Yahweh. And Pastor says to lift up Yahweh in prayer and in thanks. And that was brought out by one of the sisters, positive law number 19. Admiration for Yahweh bringing forth righteousness, his determination to bring forth righteousness through us. So I went a little bit further. I'm not too familiar with the whole gematria thing, but I wanted to play around with it because it's really, really exciting when you start using these tools that Pastor brings out and he tells you to, you know, try these things and to study and find different ways to study. So I put lift up your heads in the gematria calculator, and it gives you the three numbers. The first number is the Jewish number, 783. The second number is English, 960. And the third number is a simple 160. So I'm just going to keep it simple right now, and I'm only going to go over number 160. And this really, really, really stuck out to me because 160 in the Greek means unexpected, suddenly, and unaware. And it referenced 1 Thessalonians 5:3. And we know in 1 Thessalonians 5:3, that's when they say peace, true peace, you know, then sudden destruction will come. And it made me think of going back to Luke 21:28, when Yeshua was telling his disciples about the coming of the Son of Man, and he was saying, "Lift up your heads and, you know, be aware, be on guard. You know, don't get confused with the things of the world because, you know, your redemption draws near. And also 160 in the Hebrew means love. So when you're lifting up Yahweh, when you're lifting up Yeshua Messiah, when you're lifting up Yisrael Hawkins, you are showing love because you are keeping Yahweh's laws. And it comes from word number 158, and it means loving affection. And you show loving affection when you're being respectful to others, when, you know, you're building up the house, not tearing it down. And we also lift Yahweh up by serving one another and by lifting each other up. You know, we have different ways that we interact with each other and the way that we lift each other up. Maybe it could be a smile, it could be a compliment, it could be anything like that. You know, when I'm serving others, I always try to make someone smile or make someone laugh. You know, even if the situation isn't funny, I'll try to use something like that. And if you have, if I've had the honor to serve you at any time and I didn't make you laugh or I didn't make you smile, I think something's wrong with you. I really do. I'm sorry. I don't know what else to say. And if I have not had the honor of serving you, I will be taking appointments after services over here. So, praise Yahweh. But sisters, I just want to encourage you, let's work with Yisrael Hawkins. He will not steer you wrong. He won't deceive you. He won't lie to you. Work with him to lift Yahweh up. Let's lift Yahweh up by lifting up our heads, our authorities, by lifting each other up, and by lifting up the work of Yahweh. May Yahweh bless your understanding. And with this, I'll turn it over to the next speaker.
Shalom, y'all may be seated. My title today is, It Starts With a Thought. I want you to turn to page 960 in your Book of Yahweh, and that's 1 Kefa chapter 5, and we're going to look at verse 7. And while you're turning, Kefa, the Apostle Kefa here was talking about humbling yourself under the mighty hand of Yahweh. And then he says in verse 7, it's 1 Kefa 5, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. Now, I want to look at that word care the first time, okay? The first part of that scripture, casting all your care. The word care in Merriam-Webster's dictionary means suffering of mind. An example of that would be grief. It means a disquieted state of mixed uncertainty, apprehension, and responsibility. And the word care here means a cause for such anxiety. Now, that kind of threw me when I looked at that. I wouldn't have thought of care as meaning those words. But then it made sense when I went to the Greek word for care in that scripture, and it's 3308. And 3308 in the Greek means to draw in different directions. Okay, now this is all your care. To draw in different directions. Sometimes in Yahweh's work, we can be pulled in a lot of directions, right? Now, I'm not saying that's a bad thing, because we should be busy about our Father's business. But sometimes it gets stressful. And we have to make sure that we don't allow that stress to become negative within us, okay? So to affect us in a negative way. So the word care, number 3308, also means distract. Do we lose our focus sometimes, maybe? And also, hence, it signifies that which causes this, a care, especially an anxious care. Now let's focus on that word anxious for a moment. Let's turn to Luke chapter 21, verse 34. And that's found on page 808. Luke 21, 34. And it says, be on guard, watch. That's the title. Be on guard. See to it that your minds are never, never clouded. And here's what they should never be clouded with: carousing, drunkenness, or anxieties and worries of this life. Did you catch that anxiousness in there? Never be clouded with these anxieties or these worries of this life. And what are the worries of this life? Well, look over to the side note there, F. It says, are you worried about losing your reputation? What others think of you? Husbands, losing your husband, losing your wife, losing your child, those of your household. Are you worried about these things? Maybe you're worried about something else. Are we worried about finances? Are we worried how we're going to get all this work done that we have to do? Anything, okay? So anxieties and worries of this life. Make sure you put that in there. What is he talking about here? I want to point out to you the author of a very successful author that the overseer has talked to us about over the years. His name is Dale Carnegie, and he's written a lot of self-help books. And y'all are probably familiar with him, a lot of on public speaking and communication. He's also written a book about worrying, and it's called How to Stop Worrying and Start Living. And in that book, and the only reason I'm pointing this out to you is not because this man has all the answers, you know, because he's some successful author, but because of what he says here, and I'll read it to you. On page 113, he says, a few years ago, I was asked to answer this question on a radio program. What is the biggest lesson you have ever learned? That's a big question. And he said, that is easy. By far, the most vital lesson I have ever learned is the importance of what we think. If I knew what you think, I would know what you are. Our thoughts make us what we are. Our mental attitude is the X factor that determines our, and he says, fate. But we know it's our direction in life or our purpose. So I now know with a conviction beyond all doubt that the biggest problem you and I have to deal with, in fact, almost the only problem we have at all to deal with, is choosing the right thoughts. If we can do that, we will be on the high road to solving all our problems. Now, I bring this to your attention and want you to listen to it because this man said this is the biggest lesson he's ever learned. And you know what? Is he the only person who knows this? No, we learn this here in the great house of Yahweh every day, sisters, that if we can control our thoughts, we can solve all our problems, right? Okay, so let's continue on here. He says, yes, if we think joyful thoughts, we will be joyful. If we think miserable thoughts, we will be miserable. If we think fear thoughts, we will be fearful. If we think sickly thoughts, we'll probably be ill. If we think failure, we will certainly fail. If we wallow in self-pity, everyone will want to shun us and avoid us. And he says here, he knows life isn't a bed of roses. You know, he knows it's filled with problems. But he says, and so life isn't so simple as all that, but I am advocating that we assume a positive attitude instead of a negative attitude. Now, where have we heard that before? Where have we heard that positive attitude before? The peaceful solution, right? Yes. Okay, so I want to bring your attention to the self-control unit. On page 11, the title is Guard Your Mind. And right in the middle it says, your thoughts are powerful. Do not underestimate the effect your thoughts can have on your feelings and your behavior. It is up to you to determine if your thoughts can help you build your character or if they can lead to choices you will regret. Although thoughts flow in and out of our minds, we have the power to control what thoughts we focus on and what thoughts we let go. Okay. So, and then one more page there, on the next page, towards the bottom, it tells us what self-control is, or part of it. It is learning to control the way you think about yourself. The greatest lesson this man ever learned. Okay? So we've got that right here on page 12 in the self-control unit. We have all the knowledge of the things that they long to learn in the world. We have it here at our fingertips daily, sisters. Isn't that, like, wonderful, amazing that we have the guide, the perfect guide to our entire life? It's mapped out in these books. So let's apply this to anxiousness, okay? The worrying, the anxiety. I just want to illustrate it with what Mr. Carnegie says here. In other words, we need to be concerned about our problems, okay? Concerned, but not worried. What is the difference between concern and worry? Let me illustrate. Every time I cross the traffic jam streets of New York, I am concerned about what I am doing, but not worried. Concern means realizing what the problems are and calmly taking steps to meet them. Worrying means going around in maddening, futile circles and doing it over and over again, I add. So, self-control, right? What is it? On page 4, we know the definition of self-control is controlling our thoughts, which means guiding and directing those thoughts. Okay, that's the first step. And this is what we have to do to start taking control of where we're headed, right? So if we've been doing this anxiousness, this worrying, or we've trained ourselves to focus on the negative, how do we turn this around? Let's turn to page 923, and that's Philippians chapter 4. Page 923, Philippians chapter 4. And I'm going to read verse 6 and 7. Be anxious about nothing, but in everything, here's the solution, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to Yahweh. In everything, remember it said casting all your care? So everything, we need to give it to Yahweh. We need to take it to Yahweh in prayer, as our great teacher has told us, lift up Yahweh. Go to him with everything and be, you know, and that's part of the answer. And then he says here, and the peace of Yahweh, which surpasses all understanding, will keep your hearts and minds through Yeshua Messiah. So he says, peace is going to come on you when you do this. All right. So if you go to Yahweh and you in prayer and you start counting your blessings, what else is there? If we start really thinking about all the things, you know, the speakers talked about being thankful, that Yahweh has given us all the solutions to our problems. And it starts with a thought. And remember, you know, the first thought we can have is Yahweh is in full control because he is. And what else can we do? Well, look right over there on the page, on the same page, Philippians 3:13. Here's another solution. Forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead. Again, a thought, what we're thinking. And Philippians 4:8-9, for your notes. Think on these things. Read that. There's so many lovely things to think on, right? That's where our mind needs to go, on the positive. That's the positive right there. So, I want to go back to the beginning, 1 Kefa 5:7, in conclusion here. And look at the second half of the scripture. It says, "For casting all your care upon him," so we know what our cares are, right? "For he cares for you." That care is very different from the first one. And the second part of the dictionary definition is a painstakingly or watchful attention, maintenance, regard, coming from desire or esteem. Yahweh desires us to become perfect. Charge, and a person or thing that is an object of attention. So the Greek word here is different than the other one, 3199, and it means to be of interest to concern. Remember how Mr. Carnegie said, be concerned but not worried? Yahweh is concerned for you, sisters. He's not worried. He knows his plan. He cares for you. The 16th book of Israel, 38 verse 1 says, "The peace of Yahweh, it can calm you down. It can also keep you from worrying." So remember, what is the peace of Yahweh? Find it in 1 Kefa 3, 8 through 12. Seek peace, pursue it. And Psalm 119, 165. Great peace have they who love your law. Nothing will offend them. Keep your thoughts positive. Keep your thoughts on thankfulness to Yahweh. Lift up Yahweh, sisters, in everything you think. And then everything you feel and you do, you act on, is going to be righteous. May Yahweh bless you with understanding. Turn it to the next teacher.
Shalom, everyone. You may be seated. May the peace of Yahweh be with each and every one of you. The title today is, Are You In or Out of the Loop? So if I can have my first slide here. To be in and out of the loop, you know that phrase, and in the Cambridge Dictionary, it means to have or not have this special knowledge or power that belongs to a particular group of people. So then you might be asking, what is a loop? It's a structure, a series, or process, the end of which is connected to the beginning. A few months ago, Pastor said, we're not finished with the number 322. That's that loop around Abilene, around the house of Yahweh. Then at the feast, one of the men set before us some of the information on 322. He showed us the profile of the overseer, was that loop 322. And he said that that face he faced toward the Nimrod Baptist Church would show that Pastor Zerubbabel, opposing Babylon. Pastor wrote a song in 2007, and that song was entitled Believe Without Seeing. And the first line of that song says, Yahweh told his servant, take it back to the beginning. Remember that definition of the loop? It says that which the end which is connected to the beginning. So he said, take it back to the beginning. This week I was going to read about the Middle East prophecies that were written, or the pastor did in 1991. But when I turned there, I accidentally turned to the testimony of the great last days witness Israel. And I thought, well, I guess I need to read this before I start the Middle East thing. It says here, there on page 423, the house of Yahweh at Abel's work in these last days will be talked about forever because we tie the beginning in with the end. So let's see where Luke 3:22 actually started. Let's go to Genesis 3:22. Then Yahweh said, behold, the man has become like one who has begun to know righteousness and evil. And now he must not be allowed to put out his hand and also take of the tree of life and eat and live forever. Adam and Eve were inside that loop, that protection of Yahweh, that 322. But it was their choice to sin that had them, that judgment come against them, that curse of being put out and dying, they died. So let's look at some prophetic facts about loop 322 here in Abilene. This loop was designed in 1957, where most of it was completed. But in 1963, they started to finish that project. The starting of the end of it was begun. The last part that had to be yet finished was called the Western Terminal. Western. Now, isn't that amazing that the last work in these last days is the Western light on that lampstand? And that's the last part of loop 322 that needed to be finished. It was connected to Routes 83 and 84. How old is Pastor this year? 83, going on 84? Terminal, the definition of the word terminal. Placed at a boundary as a landmark, situated at the end. In botany, which is the study of plants, it means the growing at the end of a branch. The growing at the end, that's us. We are that growing at the end of the branch because Pastor Israel Hawkins is doing everything he has been commissioned to do to bring us to what we need to be. Now let's talk a little about the history of Abilene at this point. Oh, I think I forgot something. Can we do one more there, please? Yes. Loop 322, the Western Terminal. But one interesting thing also is when I went up and looked up the word Western in the Strong's Exhaustive Concordance, it's only there one time. One time. And the number for Western is 3220. And you know what Klon Benjamin told us? We can just take off that zero because it really doesn't mean anything. So Western is talking about this last day's work that goes right around Israel Hawkins and protects his work that he is bringing forth. So let's go on now to a little history of Abilene. It was in 315-1881 where the start of Abilene began with the sale of 139 lots. That day, they sold 139 lots. You can put that one up there, please. So if you add the 1 plus the 3 plus the 9, you're going to get the 13 attributes of Yahweh. You can see and you will see that Yahweh's hand is in all of this. 139 is one who rules in righteous judgment, in justice. In the Greek, it's a choice, chose, to choose from 142, which means to expiate sin or get rid of sin. So that's what Pastor Israel Hawkins is doing. Within that loop, that protection that Yahweh has put around him, he is getting rid of sin. He has made that choice to stand in his place and to do his part. Now, when you look at that number 315, remember Exodus 315. And what occurred in Exodus 315? That is where Yahweh gave Moshe his name, Yahweh. I am Yahweh. And that's also the same date that Yahweh gave Pastor his name in the court systems. So that shows that Pastor is going to be bringing forth the name of Yahweh. That was in 1881, this is, remember. So we know that Pastor didn't bribe anybody to put those numbers in there. So also the year 1881 means a royal edict, a statute, a decree, a commandment, a commission, a royal edict to bring forth the last of the royal priesthood. Amazing that Yahweh put there in there just like that. At class the other night, amazing class the other night, we are going over the prophetic word, the eighth month, 2017. If you missed that class, all I can say is you missed it because it was an amazing class of going over this prophetic word. We have amazing teachers in the House of Yahweh. I was blessed to sit in the presence of two of the great teachers. On page 10, it says here, once again, these definitions describe the commission. Now, did you remember that royal edict, a commission? These definitions describe the commission of the two witnesses. While the witness Jacob's light went out after being given to the curse on 3:22. That's what occurs if you step out of that loop. You will die. Loop 3:22. Yahweh's last anointed witness, Israel Hawkins, the spokesman of the two witnesses, has continued to enlighten this world through the teachings, separating the way of the world from the way of Yahweh. I then went to Gematria, the word Western, and they came up with some numbers here, 1220, 6:24 and 104. And if you just want to write those down for your notes and look more up on them, I'm not going to go through all of it, but picking out the highlights. The first one meant a penny, 1 cent. We know who that is. And then it also went to the Hebrew, a clipping, a gold, to gather grapes. In Hebrew, it went to collect, to gather for any purpose. And it also means, in the Greek, for that same number, 624, it meant to perish. Well, Pastor Israel Hawkins is collecting all the called out ones in these last days, those whom Yahweh has drawn to his house, so they don't perish with the world that soon will destroy itself. Remember, anytime anyone steps out of 322, it isn't Yahweh doing that. We all have to make the choice to stand within the loop. In Hebrews 104, it means a courier to carry an epistle. An epistle is a letter or scriptures written for us. Remember, the overseer told us that was all written for us. And who carries it in these last days and explains it to us fully so that we understand it? There is only one, the one sent, Israel Abel Hawkins. And it also means all, ever, always, the same thing to be repeated according to the circumstances. Remember, Pastor's song, take it back to the beginning. Take it back to what Yahweh originally had it. Now, I thought that was the end of my talk here until the day that I got this commission to speak this day, 2 days ago. Two work orders came in on my desk. And Yahweh is truly amazing. Sometimes we think our vehicles break down and we get frustrated, but I'm just going to let you know that sometimes your vehicles break down because someone needs to talk to everyone about it on the podium. Okay? So don't get frustrated if your vehicles break down. One came in, and it was number CRW33. And I thought, oh, that's interesting. Well, then the next one I looked at was CRW34. Now, we know that the overseer was conceived in 1933. We know that he was born in 1934. But what's even more amazing on these two work orders, and it isn't what was done with the vehicles. The man had a flat tire. They thought they fixed it, I guess. The next day, it must not have been fixed. The tire came off, and the truck went sledding under some trailer, I think. That's what occurred, but that's my interpretation. But it's the name. The name, it's the same person had both of these work orders. His name is Ilya, the strength of Yahweh. Amazing that Yahweh would put this on my desk. W meaning Western 33, Western 34. And that is only speaking about our overseer in these last days, that is bringing forth the strength of Yahweh. Let us never forget that. Let us never walk outside that Luke 33:22. Let us always stand in our place and give honor in lifting up Yahweh. At this time, may everyone please stand. I get the greatest honor in bringing forth someone who has always encouraged me in righteousness. She is amazing to me. She is our newest judge in the house of Yahweh, and her name means understanding, wisdom, and knowledge, and you will soon see why. May Yahweh be glorified.
Well, great family of Yahweh, please be seated. I'd like to start by reminding us, bringing to our remembrance, the words of our great overseer last week. They've already been said, so I'm thinking that Yahweh really wants us to get this in our mind. When he said, get your mind
off of self and help him to lift up Yahweh. Express thanks and peace. And I also want to bring to our remembrance our theme from the feast. I did not come to be served. I came to serve. Now, who is the greatest servant? You may answer. Nobody knows? Yahweh. Yes, Yahweh is the greatest servant. Now, reading from the 9th book of Yisrael, part 2, chapter 4, verse 12. A great overseer says, remember the pattern that Yahweh set under Moshe, and he said, make all things according to this pattern. Then he says, I'll throw in a little bit more here to you. Yahweh says, he will be Yahweh to you, then you will be Yahweh to the people. Yahshua is Yahweh to me, speaking of the overseer, and I am Yahweh to you. Now that pattern will never be changed. That pattern is going to make you or break you. That's the way it is. Then in that same book, in chapter 6, in verse 104, in his closing, he says, I pray that everybody will take this seriously. Every word of it seriously. If you don't, you probably won't make it. But if you do, you're going to be with me forever. Yahweh bless you. And he says, oh, one more thing. I told you, I am Yahweh to you. Now your duty, our duty, our obligation is to be Yahweh to me. And if you don't do it, I'll lose you. Now, since Yahweh is creating us in his image and his likeness, then that would mean that you are Yahweh to me and I am Yahweh to you. And if Yahweh is the greatest servant, then what would that make us? Since we are the image and likeness of Yahweh, what are we? The greatest servant, exactly. Now, are we not commanded to build the house of Yahweh? And when we build, do we not build up? Do we not lift up? Keep these things in mind. Are we not commanded to love our neighbor as ourself? Our neighbor, the one beside you, who dwells beside you. Look beside you. That is your neighbor. Look behind you. Look in front of you. Look at the row across from you. That is your neighbor. She is your neighbor. And did not Yahweh instruct us to treat others the way we want to be treated? The way we want to be treated. We are to treat others. Now, I want to get you thinking about something. If Father Yahweh was working beside you, and he stepped on your toe, would you scream in his face? Would you give him a push or maybe a kick? I see heads shaking. No, that's Yahweh. I would never do that to Yahweh. I want you to think of this. If your sister, who is Yahweh to you, is working beside you, and she steps on your toe, do you scream in her face? Do you give her a push? Or maybe a kick? No. I want us to remember these things. Remember these things. Now, I want to share a song with you. Don't look so concerned. I'm not going to sing. I love you. I wouldn't do that to you. Now, the title of this song is, I See Yahweh when I look at you. I do. I see Yahweh when I look at you. Now, the very first verse, it says, what we need to remember through those tests and those trials, and yes, we are being tested, and yes, we are being tried. And remember, our great overseer said we go through seven stages, and we're in the seven stages, and the seventh is the hardest. And every time he talks about, we haven't seen the worst yet, I'm like a little puppy dog back there. My ears just perk right up. But I liken these tests and trials, and I often liken things to labor because it's something I can relate to, and it's something that I understand. And when you're in that final stage of labor, and I can guarantee all you mamas out there know what I'm talking about, it is the most excruciating stage. It's when you feel the most pain. It's when you feel so tired that you're ready to give up. You feel like you just cannot give one more push. But I'm telling you, sisters, when, and I mean when, not if, when you give that final push, everything that you have looked for, everything that you have longed for, everything that you have labored for lies before you. You are then able to embrace it. I want you to keep this in your mind. Keep this in your mind as we go through these tests and trials, what they are going to bring forth. What they are going to bring forth. And I want you to remember, I see Yahweh when I look at you. Now let's look at verse 2. He says, we'll encourage each other and hang on to. Yes, encourage one another, uplift one another, exhort one another, urge one another on towards love and righteous works. We know our shortcomings. We know our failings. We know that we make mistakes. By no means am I suggesting that we not give correction. Correction is absolutely necessary. But with that correction, in speech class, remember, you give points to work on, but you also build up. We build. We are to build this house. Build. Lift Yahweh up. Each of you are Yahweh. Lift Yahweh up. We're all in this together. Let's not forget. Let's not forget that Yahweh is putting together a family. We are that family. And I can guarantee you, most of us grew up with siblings. And we stepped on each other's toes, and we brushed each other wrong. We squabbled with each other. But at the end of the day, we loved one another. And no one outside better ever think about doing anything to your sibling. That's the way we need to be. You are my sisters. I am your sister. We are family. We are the Yahweh family. Going down, he says, but when you endure... I keep saying he. I don't know who wrote this song, but it's a beautiful song, and I love it. But when you endure, Yahweh, you will glorify. Just as usual seed, we glorify Yahweh. Just as Yahweh is glorified through Yisrael Hawkins. When you endure, you glorify Yahweh. Remember that. It says, Yahweh knows how you're trying. Yes, he knows. He knows our struggles. He sees what we're going through. But let's remember that he doesn't allow anything that we cannot bear, even though it seems to us that it is unbearable at times. No, trust Yahweh's promise. He says he won't put anything on us we can't bear. He won't allow it. He doesn't want to break us. He wants to make us. Our tests and trials make us. But we can allow them to break us. Well, one final thing here I want you to remember, sisters. I want you to take this with you. I want you to remember it. I know you will make it through. I see Yahweh when I look at you. Praise God. With that, I'd like to collect everyone to please stand. I'd like to turn it over to our next great teacher.
Shalom. Please be seated. Praise God. May the peace of Yahweh be with each and every one of you. I want to start off by asking you all a question, and I don't want you to answer out loud. I just want you to think, truly, truly think within your mind, okay? Do you love the house of mighty Yahweh? The bride, the lamb's wife, kingdom of priests, who rule as Yahweh more than all else? You know, sisters, recently, well, some of us recently, some of us it's been a while, some of us haven't had the opportunity yet, but we made this vow before Yahweh. We said these words. Do we understand? This was a vow we made. We physically and spiritually became a part of the house of Yahweh forever with this vow. There is actually our DNA bound into the physical part of this house. And the physical part of this house is bound within our DNA. Do we realize that? But I ask you today, do you love the house of Yahweh more than all else? In the sermon given on 4:1-17, our overseer said, the unity with Yahweh, it's not just when you say, I love the house of Yahweh. It's not when you say, well, I'll take what I like out of the house of Yahweh. No, you can't do that. You've got to take everything. You've got to take the whole thing. The house of Yahweh means the whole house of Yahweh, nothing else. And we have to take these words and understand and apply them in our lives, that when we say, I love the house of Yahweh, we're saying, I love the plan of Yahweh. I love every part of Yahweh's plan, how it affects me and how it affects my life. And in the Going On to Perfection series, number 26, our overseer says, we know we're going to make it. We know we're going to make it because Yahweh says we are. With Yahweh, all things are possible. That means with Yahweh and with his laws, all things are possible. That's what he gives you. He's not going to do it for you, nor is he going to make it easy on you. But yet, why? Why can't Yahweh make it just a little easier? Why does it have to be so hard? I can't take it anymore. Why does it have to be so hard? Exodus 20:20, do not fear, for Yahweh has come to test you and prove you, so that the reverence for Yahweh will be with you, so you do not commit sin. That's the lesson. That's the real reason. What is the point where we'll say, I can't take it anymore? What is the point when we'll walk through that gate and give it all up? What is our point? That is what Yahweh is trying to show us, that very thing. And my sisters, when we say those words, we are proving that we are not worthy of this kingdom. And I beg you, you know, the women before spoke about the power of the mind and the power of our speech. And I know I say this every time I get up here, but saying I'm not going to make it anyway is the most damnable thing I can imagine. That is calling Yahweh a liar. We cannot fall into this. That is our real lesson. 1 Kefa 1:6-7 speaks of the trial of our faith. Do we not agree that's what we've been going through? If you think about a trial, I'm sure we've all at some point seen either on TV or in real life, with a trial, every part is brought forth. The evidence is examined. Witnesses are called. That's what we're going through, the trial of our faith. And every insecurity, every shortcoming, everything within us that we've tried to push down and hide, it's coming out now. It's being brought out now. This Omar, Father Yahweh, right? Just since the feast, and I'm not going to ask you to raise your hands, but if you did, how many of you have been on the floor crying just since the feast? This Omar sifting has been serious. But when we look at that, we have to understand and pay attention to the way we respond to others. Hear me now and understand when I say it is never okay to be treated unfairly. It is never okay to be treated unjustly. But what we have to remember and understand, at the end of the day, it's all about us. This is the one time you are allowed in your testing to truly believe the world revolves around you. Because when it comes to your testing, it does. The whole world is revolving around you, what you'll do, what you'll say, how you'll act. And one thing I really want us to understand, testing is not always about getting something out of us. You know, we look at testing and I've done this. Let me just say, what do I need to learn, Yahweh? What weakness is in me? What fault is in me? What do I need to overcome? Sometimes testing is about building strength. It's about not getting rid of something in you, but building up a quality in you, right? Because if you've never been wronged, how would you learn forgiveness? Really think about that. If you've never been hurt, how do you learn compassion? So don't always look at your testing that you're being beat down with a big old stick. Sometimes it's about learning what we need to help others. And it's actually can be a positive thing. Sisters, we must realize this trial of our faith is to prove we love the house of Yahweh more than all else, that we have no breaking point, that we have no limit, that one more thing that will drive us out those gates does not exist. That is what we're learning right now. And, you know, I was reading Eob the other night, Yashub, and I had to just chuckle because, you know, overseers told us over and over, you know, read Yashub, really read and really study it. And I had to laugh because, you know, the men that were there guiding and counseling him, you know, they were encouraging him. And everything they said, what did Eob do? You don't understand. You don't know what I'm going through. You don't get it. And then they tried some more. And what did Eob do? Nuh-uh, no, you don't understand. Cursed be the day I was born. You don't understand what I'm going through. And I'm not putting Yashub down, trying to make a point. Until finally Yahweh stepped in and said, look here. You will stand before me and you will answer me. Where were you when I created the heavens? Where were you when I put this plan in order? And so now you're going to stand before me and act like some little victim? Where were you? Right? That's the point all of us are at. None of us are any different than the people we read about in scriptures. But we've got to understand and realize there is a point to it. There is a purpose to it. And I really want to encourage you all. Tomorrow there's 30 days until the Feast of Pentecost. And you know, the world has all kinds of crazy challenges they do. But we're going to set before us today a 30-day challenge, a righteous 30-day challenge. For the next 30 days, we are going to come to perfection. We are going to take our honey and butter every day. We're going to say 3 prayers every day. We are going to pay our tithes. We are going to go to class if possible. We are going to go to work. We are going to be kind to one another. We are going to build one another up. We are going to lift one another up. I challenge you for 30 days. keep everything brought forth from Yahweh's house. No entertainment, no worldly entertainment, no going out in the world if at all possible, no going to restaurants. Every single thing the house of Yahweh has taught us. Do that diligently and faithfully for the next 30 days. And I promise you, my sisters, I promise you, if we do that, the love and zeal for this house, for these laws, will consume us. If you have doubts, if you're struggling, and I don't mean to keep saying you, all of us, if we're questioning our walk with Yahweh, if we're questioning our place here, do this 30-day challenge. Yahweh deserves it. If you are struggling in any way with being here, you've spent this much of your time here, why not give Yahweh 30 more days? But that means truly, truly keeping every single teaching brought forth by Yahweh's house, not just what you agree with, everything. Do that for 30 days, and I promise you, one of two things will occur. You'll either decide this isn't really what you want and you'll leave, or you will be grounded forever in this house. So I encourage all of us, let's take this challenge, 30 days to become perfect. Overseers told us for years and years we were 99.9% there. So now we're going to do it. We're done playing. Okay, playtime's over. We're stepping up. We're going to do it now, right? Yes. And I want to close with Matthew 25:34. Then the king will say to those on his right hand, come, you blessed of my father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you. Prepared for you since the foundation of the earth. No more sorrow, no more pain, no more crying. Prepared for you. Don't lose sight of the goal, my sisters. Get through this part, get through these trials, get through this sifting, and really consider, do you love the house of Yahweh more than all else? And I do pray Yahweh will bless you all, and I'll turn it over to our next speaker.
Shabbat shalom, everyone. You may be seated. And may the peace of Yahweh be with each and every one of you. Okay, I'm going to bring you back just for a slight minute here to when Abalone News talked about the house of Yahweh. Every time they refer to the house of Yahweh, they would say, at the end of this dry, dusty road sits the house of Yahweh. I mean, it just gives a really bad feeling, doesn't it? But I want to let Abalone News know that we got a beautiful paved road now called Abel Way. And you thought this took forever? No, it only takes 2 weeks before feast. Because I'll never forget having to drive into the wilderness. Thankfully, my sister knew more directions than me. She's like, oh, no, go that way, that route. And I'm like, they all look the same. And they all got trees. Where's the gravel? But sisters, today I want to talk about this word, Able Way. Because what inspired Pastor to just name it that way? I mean, I like Oak Forest. Oak Forest, really original. But I'm going to show you today some gematria. Before I get into this, I'm going to give you a little lecture because I like to lecture. Gematria. You may think it's insignificant, but I want you to understand the scripture, Isaiah 36:14, that even the very smallest letter, every single letter of the law, of the book of Yahweh, was accounted for. Every letter in the gematria has a number. Every sparrow is accounted for. Yahweh uses numbers, and he uses it to keep inventory of the entire universe. And yet he can intertwine it into the book of Yahweh, intertwine it into the Strong's, and inspire all of these things to occur with so many sources, and the gematria is just another source. Okay, so please bear with me if you are a little confused with gematria, okay? I want to show you what I found on the gematria for Abel Way. You have here the Hebrew, which is 1329, the English, number 414, and the simple, 69. Now, how I'm going to do this, I'm going to actually go through three of these numbers, just sticking to the definitions I found in the Strong's concerning the Hebrew. Then I'm going to go into the Greek Strong's definition for all these three numbers. So for our first number in Hebrews, which is the Hebrew gematria, 1329. I want you to take some time to write that down, because you're going to realize how all of these numbers link to the word Abel Way. Show you how gematria works. Okay. If you can't write fast enough, just draw the circles, okay? Because we're going to go through the numbers. Okay, so for our first number, you could go down as I need. I want you to pay attention. For 1329, it says it plays in Palestine. You're probably thinking, okay, why a location? But it comes from number 1328. So we go down, and we have 1328. 1328 comes from two numbers, which we'll eventually cover. But look at that word, destroyed of God. Now, we know they always refer the creator as God. So here is Yahweh. But remember what the Kohan has been bringing out, that Yahweh doesn't destroy. They always bring their destruction upon themselves, right? And then it goes into the definition now, because 1326, it says desolate, and it says waste. Now, as we go down, because this number comes from another number, it says meaning to break in pieces. Look at that. That makes me think of Daniel's 2 verses 40. Remember that last beast that's so brittle because they have a mixture? And remember the house of Yahweh is going to be chipping at them. Let's go down one more. Now this number, 410, which is another number that that main number comes from, it says strength, mighty, almighty. And right here, it also says God, but we know that is Yahweh. So that's referring to Yahweh. This number is referring to Yahweh. But this is where it gets kind of interesting. Let's go to the next number. 352. 352. And it means properly strength. But as you go down, it says an oak, a strong tree. Now, how in the world did pastor decide to say Abel Way and it's still saying oak tree? That's what's so amazing, that this word, Abel Way, in the Hebrew gematria, is actually referring back to oak tree. But if we go down another one, you have the number that this number comes from, oak tree, and it says meaning to twist. Now, let's stop right there, because I was like, what do you mean twist? What does twist have to do with oak tree? Have to do with being strong and strength? And I asked Pastor, because I'm like, you know, because Pastor is the source of all knowledge here on earth. So he said, well, it's like a twist in a rope. And I'm like, a twist in a rope? And I was like, okay. And he realized, I am just not getting it. So he gave me a little story of his country life, living on the farm. And please forgive me, Pastor, if I'm not explaining this right, because I am a city girl. He says, you take the rope and you twist it. And especially when someone's trying to, you know, rope a calf. If you take just the regular rope and you do that to the calf, two things occurs. You break the rope and you break the neck of the calf. No, no. But when you twist the rope, you're actually making it stronger, but yet that rope can give enough back so that it doesn't break and it does not harm the calf. And I'm like, that simple thing, just twisting the rope? We're just like, yeah. But so this is why the word twist is part of Able Way. You're strong. You're very strong, but you're nourishing. You're always keeping things safe. And the last definition here, being rolled together, but also the word strength. And we heard a lot about that. Ilya, right? Ilya, the prophets and the prophecies in Malachi 4 that speaks about how Yahweh's laws and prophecies is our strength. Okay, so now we're going to go to our next number found in the Gematria. Four, one, four. Just draw the circles. If you can't get the numbers, that's fine. So that way you'll know exactly how many numbers are related to this. But 414 in the English Gematria, which comes from Able Way, this flipped me out. That just shows you how much Yahweh was working so closely with his house. Take a look at that. It's not just in the Hebrew, but it's also in the English Gematria. Oak. Oak again. Yay. Yahweh's telling us something here. A oak tree. A strong tree. And as you can see here, it's relating back to all the same numbers we just went through. Save me 10 minutes there. Okay? It's all the same thing. And I want to remind you again, this word, tree, in Genesis. This is speaking of the tree of righteousness, Genesis chapter 2 and Matthias chapter 7. This tree of righteousness, which is exactly what oak forests lead to, an Able Way. So moving on quickly. Now we're going to go into our simple Gematria. And in the simple Gematria of Able Way, we have number 69. Those are the numbers that relates to it. It's almost like a whole feast review, because here it says stone. Remember all the work that came out during the feast about Pastor's lot, the stone, that's us, that's the work. It means to build. And look at that. A plummet. Plummet. Which is righteousness. And who builds the house of Yahweh these last days? Israel Hawkins. That's who builds it. Okay, so now we're finally going to the Greek definition of the Gematrias. Back to our first number. Our first number was 1329, which is the Hebrew. And this is where it gets into Israel Hawkins.
I want you to see here. It says to explain thoroughly by implication, to translate, expound, interpret. Isaiah 44, verse 7. Who will foretell these things? Who will explain it? Israel Hawkins. He will do those things. But remember what the Vatican did. They tried to do it themselves. They tried to render the scriptures, right? The Bible. But they don't do it like Israel Hawkins. Israel Hawkins, he puts precept upon precept, line upon line. And I want to point this out to you. The God language. Now, God, not God, but Yahweh, Yahweh's language. Think about the English language. That if it wasn't for the English language, pastor would not be able to read the King James Version. If it was never translated into that. But remember what Yahweh said, that with a stammering lip, with a different language, right? He's going to bring forth this. And what I want you to see here is he speaks. Israel Hawkins speaks this through word or writing. And you know that's the press release, the wonderful press release. Here's our English. Our English gematria. You grab those numbers up. And we're going to go into the Greek. And you wouldn't believe it, but Abel Way has something to do with us too. I thought this was pretty funny. Because how can you be more endurable? In the house of Yahweh, aren't you enduring enough? But be more endurable, more tolerable. Now, when you travel on this Abel Way, you go to the law, don't you? You go to the law and you endure every bit of it. And here's the last one. The simple gematria for number 69. Yeah, you may think gematria is just numbers, but did you realize how many speakers today said this word? Watch. They kept on saying that, and I was like, oh my word, how did that occur? But yeah, it means watch. Watch your feet, right? Watch that you're not full of anxiety. Watch yourself, right? And the reason why I'm showing you this is, number one, for your subconscious mind, so in the future, you remember what these numbers mean, but the reason why I say this is because when we walk on this path, I mean, I remember when it was a gravel road and I was little and we would be, it would just be a very bumpy ride. And all of a sudden the dust would disappear and there goes the house of Yahweh, finally appears through all the dust. But now Yahweh is really trying to pave a way, now that we're overcoming so much, to remember that this is what the house of Yahweh is. When we travel Abel's way, it is the plummet. It is the righteousness. It is Israel Hawkins who has been building up this house. But it's also us enduring the tests and the trials and watching ourselves to make sure we stay here and we don't turn back. Once we travel on Abel's way, we don't look back. I would like to introduce to you a person that's been traveling Abel's way for many, many years. And she has seen all the constructions that have been occurring on Abel's way. If you all please stand for our next speaker.
Shalom, everyone. You may be seated. Before I actually start my speech, I wanted to give a quick announcement, actually spread a little bit of gossip. Did anyone hear about a four-day feast? If we are able, we'd like everyone to come down Abel Way, starting the Sabbath before the Great Feast of Pentecost, and stay those entire 4 days. And Pastor said, that Feast of Weeks, the Feast of Pentecost, will be the greatest last day. Okay? Now, we've gotten word that some of you can make the whole 4 days, some of you can make part of the 4 days. Anything that you can do, you will be so extremely blessed beyond measure. Okay? So, 4 days. All right, now to the speech. May Yahweh's peace be with each and every one of you. The title of my speech is YH Said. Everybody know who YH is? Israel Hawkins. Israel Hawkins said, Israel Hawkins says, Israel says. Israel Hawkins said the other day that he wanted us to help him to lift up Yahweh, right? And I've got a confession to make. I usually don't do my confession in front of the whole congregation. However, I feel it necessary to let you know that I'm a little desirous. I have a righteous desire to be like Israel Hawkins. And I know that I don't really have to confess that, do I? Because remember when the young people sang that song, make me what you want me to be, like you in every single way. I won't sing it. They're all going, please. They're looking at me with fear in their eyes. Don't ruin the song. But we want to be made just like Yahweh, right? Who is Yahweh to us? Right. And we are also Yahweh to one another, right? And it's been said many times today, so I'm not going to go back over any gematria and numbers. I'm going to leave a lot of scriptures out because I want to pour out Israel Hawkins' heart. And I'm going to start in the fourth book of Israel. And this is the reverence of Yahweh number 4. And it's called Set Your Mind in Advance. And it's verse 67, and this is why I want to be like Israel Hawkins. This is what he says. Remember, he's telling us to lift up Yahweh. But who is Yahweh to us, really? Do we really know Yahweh? I want to know Yahweh like Israel Hawkins knows Yahweh. I have that desire. And in verse 67, Pastor says, it's very important. So I underline that in my book of Israel, because Pastor's saying it's very important. It's very important that you get this and realize what a wonderful being we worship. I get so caught up when Israel Hawkins says his prayers on the last day of the feast. I want to pray like that. How many of you listen to Israel Hawkins' prayers and just be like, man, how'd he do that? How does he seem like he just has like this buddy-buddy, awesome, I know him better than you know him relationship with the Heavenly Father? And like he's talking to him like, and when I get down on my knees and I put my head covering on, I'm like, what do I say? Sometimes I struggle with, what do I say? Man, Pastor's words just come out so awesomely when he talks to his Father. He knows Yahweh. And he's telling us, I need you to get this and realize what a wonderful being we worship. I know you do. Not hardly as much as he does, though. I know you want to be like him. You know, make me what you want me to be. They're getting scared again over there. And I do, too. We want to be like Yahweh. My desire is to be just like Yahweh in mind, spirit, power, in everything. And Pastor says, especially in righteousness. That's the way Israel Hawkins thinks about Yahweh. I want to think about Yahweh that way too, all the time. Continuing, Pastor says, the righteousness is what I crave and what every one of you should crave also. My desire is to be righteous like Yahweh, the perfect being, and get to the point where nothing could ever tempt me in any way. You know, one of our speakers said we have that point that we get to. Well, I'll stay in the house of Yahweh until, you know, don't let me, if they do this, I'll, no. Pastor's saying he wants to get so righteous that he gets to the point that nothing could ever tempt him to sin, to fall away, to tear down, to leave our place, to not go to work, to not desire to be with each and every one of us here. Think about that. That is my desire and should be yours too. Now, this being who we are worshiping, who we want to be like, says he foreknew you. Okay, that automatically blows my socks off. Yep, they're gone. Yahweh knew me before I even came here. He knew me before I was born. Let's read on. In verse 56 of this same sermon, it says, now get this, he's converting you over to the image of his first begotten son. He's converting us for the kingdom because all these powers were created ahead of time. They were all planned out for you. They were all planned out for you. There is an office waiting for you to fill. They have a vacancy for you. You're now going to school, to the academy. Yahweh is now teaching you and training you to take your place. I'll put it another way, Pastor says. There's a vacancy in the priesthood, and Yahweh's training you to take that vacancy. You're training to become a part of this priesthood. All of these powers were created ahead of time, before the world ever began. Yahweh had it all planned out. Verse 61. You have to make up your mind ahead of time. Satan cannot tempt you, otherwise she will. Solomon talked about this in Proverbs. He warned against the whorish woman, the fornicating woman, and he warns us over and over. He says, you're a fool if you fall for this. This isn't just whorish women, it's leaving the house of Yahweh, leaving your place. Back over to verse 57. The fantastic thing about this is he had it planned. He had you planned too. He knew before the world was ever created, before the world was created, that he created an office for you. You. Now that's an amazing thing. The inspired scriptures of Yahweh show this plainly, and I've seen enough evidence of this in my lifetime to believe it. I know Yahweh has a guiding hand in his house right now. He has guided all of these things that have taken place in his house already. I've seen his involvement many times. Everything he has prophesied is falling into place. Do you see it? Do you see it? Do you see these prophecies? I remember when the great Kahanya Didia said, you know, Pastor's talking about nuclear war, and I'm trying to look up all these headlines, and there's nothing about nuclear war in the news. Well, the great Kahan wrote a letter the other day, and he's like, the only thing in the news is nuclear war. Now, think about if we would have given up back then in 2006 when Pastor said, write it on your bathroom mirror. Do you remember when he said that? And some people were like, oh, yeah, why does he give dates and everything? Everything that that man has told us has come to pass. Everything. Now, when he's telling us that the awesome, miraculous being Yahweh has an office that was created for you, and that he's trying you out for this position right now, and that you can either make it or walk out on it, but it will be filled by someone. Do you believe that too? Pastor Israel Hawkins, he is so awesome to us. You know, when he talks about Yahweh and how awesome and amazing Yahweh is? All I can think of is how awesome and amazing the overseer is, and I'm going to tell you why. We're going to go to another sermon in the same book. You need to get this book. It's the Fourth Book of Israel and the Reverence of Yahweh series, which were 1989. A few of you people that were singing, "Make me like you want me to be," were not even born yet. And he was talking about that song. He already knew you were going to sing it. Now, on page 83 of the Book of Israel, and this is the Reverence of Yahweh number 2, and this was in 1988. I got baptized in 1988. That was like 30 years ago. Okay, so 30 years ago, the pastor was saying these things, and I am just really understanding them today. Okay, so I'm 30 years old. Why are you laughing? Understanding what pastor was saying 30 years ago. And in verse 8, it says, "We found out last time that Yahweh is the head over all. Therefore, he's our teacher." Get this, he's your teacher. You should reverence Yahweh because of the fact that he's your teacher. He's your supreme teacher. And then pastor says, I'm going to drop down to verse 10. He says, "Why should you love a teacher?" Because a lot of people are like, Israel Hawkins, he gets up there, woo, palm branches, we're screaming, we're waving, we're bowing. Why, pastor says in verse 10, why should you love a teacher? Well, the main reason you love him is because he shows you the way to eternal life. Does Israel Hawkins show us the way to eternal life? You're darn tootin', he tells you come right down Yahweh's, Abel's way. Where you'll learn Yahweh's way at the house of Yahweh, right? There's a lot of way there. And you're not going to get your own way when you come down Abel's way. You're going to have to learn Yahweh's way. So why should you love a teacher? He shows you the way to eternal life. Flip the page over. Verse 13 of this same sermon here, it says, verse 13, pastor says it again. It's kind of, I kind of feel like Kepha. Do you love me? Pastor says again, why should you love a teacher? You love a teacher, pastor says, because he shows you the way to overcome evil and to have eternal life. Does our teacher show us the way to overcome evil? Yes, he does. So that we can have eternal life. He shows you the way to true righteousness, this teacher. This is the reason you have to do this and you have to love your teacher, the one Yahweh sent to you, no matter who he or she is. Remember, a little child can become your teacher when they say to you, "Head Judge Tana, are we supposed to say that word in the house of Yahweh?" No, ma'am. Right? It could be a little child. So, why do we love our teacher? We love our teacher, House of Yahweh, because he is Yahweh to us. But I want to leave you with one thought before I go and turn it over to our next speaker. We are also Yahweh to one another. We are also teachers and examples to one another. So, please be Yahweh to me, and I will always strive to be Yahweh to you. And may Yahweh bless your understanding, and I turn it over to the next speaker.
Shabbat Shalom, great saints of Yahweh. You may be seated. So I'll just continue from where the other speakers have left off, and may the peace of Yahweh be with each and every one of us who are here today and those who are joining us over the media and the news as well. To me, it was a very awesome thing when the Great One sent said to us, of course, as you've heard before, the other speakers, help him to lift Yahweh up or lift up Yahweh. So while he's saying it, I am talking in my mind, I'm talking to him. I'm saying, okay, if you want me, I'm talking, he's saying it on the podium, help me to lift Yahweh up, lift up Yahweh. I'm saying, you're asking me to lift Yahweh up. the supreme head of all creation, Yahweh the Power, you're asking us to lift Yahweh up. What do we need then to lift Yahweh up? Us? Lift Yahweh up how? And he did tell us some ways to lift Yahweh up. But as a person, I'm thinking, how do I lift Yahweh up? What do I need? What do I need to lift Yahweh up? So he answered the question. He answered the question on the night of Yahshua's memorial. So you're thinking, but if he asked us this a couple of Sabbaths ago, memorial was way back. So is he answering the question before he asked it? But we don't know how Yahweh works. So he answered the question on the night of Yahshua's memorial, Yahweh the 13th or 13th Yahweh. He said, those words, quote, he said, when you take selfishness out and you put servitude in, that makes you a different person. He said, when you take selfishness out and servitude in, that makes you a different person. So I said, what we need to lift Yahweh up is becoming different persons. Do you see that great house of Yahweh? In the endeavor to lift Yahweh up, supreme head of all creation, the way that he deserves to be lifted up, we need the great addition. And that's the name of my portion today, the great addition, or great editing, as he himself said. And when the great one sent said, the great addition, the great editing, I said, oh, wow, the great editing. And when he talked about, or when he used the phrase, the great editing, he was talking about the Sistine Chapel and the painless hours and hours mankind took to paint this thing with gods. And we were trying to get a part to show us today, and we had to blow the entire thing. Do you understand what I mean, mixed company? We had to just blow the entire Sistine Chapel. But listen to the facts about it and see how much effort mankind has put into praising and giving honor to his gods. May we have the clip, please?
You have to crane your neck to get a good look at the ceiling of the Sistine Chapel. Pope Julius II's invitation to paint the 5,000-square-foot ceiling of the chapel was one Michelangelo, 33 years old at the time, could hardly refuse. After 4 years of back and neck-breaking toil, his work was unveiled on the 31st of October in the year 1512. About 5 million people visit the Sistine Chapel every year. The number of visitors is expected only to grow in coming years. The Vatican is planning to upgrade the current climate control system for the chapel, but officials are hesitant to turn tourists away.
It's not possible in this moment to limit the number of visitors of the Catholic that want entering Cappella Sistina from all countries of the world.
The Sistine Chapel is where cardinals meet for the conclave to choose the next pope, where popes conduct baptisms and special prayers. Michelangelo returned in 1535 to paint the Last Judgment on the chapel's wall. It took 5 years to complete this work, a work art lovers no doubt hope will remain intact until Judgment Day.
Many square feet, painstaking hours of having themselves up there painting. How many square miles of Sistine Chapel to give honor to their gods? How many million people are coming? Revelation 12:9, the whole world is deceived. How many million of people coming to look at all the gods on the Sistine Chapel? Great House of Yahweh, let me ask you a question. How much more effort do we need to put in to lifting Great Father Yahweh up, the supreme head of all creation? How much more painstaking effort we must bend our back? How much more painstaking must we take as individuals to lift Yahweh up? The supreme head of all creation. These are just the fancy gods. I even brought you one. To give honor to their gods. But we serve the mighty power of all creation. And then how much more can we put in to lift him up? As the Great One sent was asking us. How much more would you put in? And he said, when we put in order to do that, when we put selfishness out and we put servitude in, that makes us a different person. You know where selfishness stemmed from. And I will raise myself above, I'll sit on my throne and raise myself, I myself, and I, the 666. Selfishness is the essence of God worship. Now you know who this is. This is not who they wanted to depict, like Mary, the mother of, you know this is not true. This really is the same God who is worshiped, the Hillel, who sits a one to sit above on the throne. This is who she really is. This is just to make you think that's Mary, the mother of the God, which is also is false. She being the teacher and the leader of all the gods, true. All in adversary to Great Father Yahweh. So I said, look at the amount of deception, Revelations 12:9. The deception up to today, nuclear war is behind our door, 1 hour of burning. You can still get this to pray to. This, my friend, is the great addition that mankind and Hillel has influenced mankind to do. Up to this day, we can get those. They can get those deceived. So, I want you to, rather, would you like to help me to lift Yahweh up some? Here's what I'd like to do. I'd like to use the pattern that the Great One sent used. He said, children, he said, if you take a win, when you take selfishness out and servitude in, that makes you a different person. Hey, when we put 666 out and 613 in, that makes us a different person. True or false? So let's help me with some. So I'll start it off, and when I say in is your cue to say that makes us a different person. Is that okay? And we'll say we because we want to lift Yahweh up. Don't we want the great house of Yahweh? Don't you want to help the great one sent to lift Yahweh up? So we'll say, I'll start it off, and then when I say in, listen carefully because I'll say some long ones too. When I say in, then you can help me in saying that makes us a different person. Would you like to try? Nice. So our example. When we put 666 out and we put 613 in,
that makes us a different person.
That's it. Very nice. When we put bitterness out and we put forgiveness in, perfect. Do you agree? When we put backbiting out, when we put the bad, evil gossiping out, and we put, Yahweh, we love your great commandment. Wait, I didn't say that in yet. It's a long one. So I'll start again. When we put the evil gossips out, with backbiting. And you know what? A young priest I heard once said recently, and the psychological things that, the psychology that we don't need to use with each other in the Yahweh's house. And I'm thinking, psychology. When we put those things, and also the sarcasm, The words lashing out at each other. You see? And the great judge said, Yahweh to me and Yahweh to you. So when we put all those things out, and we put Yahweh will love your great commandment, or we put God and keep Yahweh's way in. Very nice. When we put all forms of God worship, now you know, if it's not Yahweh's way, the great one sent said, it's only two powers we have, Yahweh and the gods. When we put all forms of God worship out, and we put all forms of Yahweh worship in, do you agree, Great House of Yahweh? Praise Yahweh. And with that, we turn over to the great priest of the house of Yahweh.